My text for today comes from Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, and the first 10 verses of that. Familiar verses, I'm sure, but hear them anew today. Matthew writes, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was a brilliant white. The guards shook with fear when they saw him and fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here, for he has come back to life again, just as he said he would. Come in and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead and that he is going to Galilee to meet them there. That's my message to them.' The women ran from the tomb, badly frightened, but also filled with joy, and rushed to find the disciples to give them the angel's message. And as they were running, suddenly Jesus was there in front of them. 'Good morning,' he said, and they fell to the ground before him, holding his feet and worshiping him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be frightened. Go tell my brothers to leave at once for Galilee to meet me there.'" Heavenly Father, on this day that we celebrate the resurrection, Lord, we pray that you'd be with us so that the Lord would come alive in us. We live as if he didn't rise from the dead. Come, Lord Jesus. Speak into our lives so that we might speak into the lives of others in your name. And it's in your name we do pray it. Amen and amen. Shortly after the start of World War II, a soldier told his wife, "I'll be coming back soon." And then he left her and his infant son to go into combat. 5 years went by, and faithfully during those 5 years, on a regular basis, that young mother would show her little boy a picture of a soldier, and she would say, "See, that's your daddy, and one of these days he's gonna be coming back to us." Now, in reality, she didn't know what to expect. She didn't know if or when her husband would ever be coming back. One morning, the little boy said to her mama, he said, "Mommy, wouldn't it be great if Daddy just would step out of that picture frame?" Well, friends, in a sense, that's what Jesus did almost 2,000 years ago, when after 3 days, he stepped out of his tomb on that first Easter morning. For you see, before Jesus had died and been buried, like that young soldier going off to World War II, Jesus had, in essence, said to those closest to him, "I'll be coming back soon." Now, along with the disciples, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had heard Jesus' words, and they had accepted that promise by faith. And like the young soldier's wife, they didn't know what to expect. They didn't know if or when Jesus would ever be returning. But while the young soldier's wife still had her hopes, in their hearts, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had given up hope. After all, they'd seen Jesus die on a Roman cross. They'd watched Joseph of Arimathea hastily wrap his body in a linen shroud and place it in a tomb. They'd witnessed a huge stone being rolled over the entrance to that tomb. Jesus had been crucified, he had died, and he had been buried before their very eyes. And let me tell you, friends, for those two Marys, their hopes were gone. And now, as the morning light was dawning on the eastern horizon, the two ladies were headed back to that very same tomb, going there to do for Jesus what there was no time to do for him on that Friday afternoon. They were going back to wash his body, think of what it looked like, to wash his body, to give him the dignity of a decent burial. The only thing they were expecting as they made their way back to that tomb was the cold, bleak, hard reality of death. But when they arrived at that tomb, they were surprised by what they discovered. The stone had been rolled away. The tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone. And then suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Don't be frightened. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he's not here. He's come back to life again, just as he said he would." And then as the women were leaving that tomb to go and tell the disciples, suddenly Jesus met them. He was alive. And in their hearts, I suspect the two Marys heard echoes of what Jesus had told them the previous week. "I'll be coming back soon." And you know what, friends? That's the essence of the Easter story. The two Marys saw Jesus that morning. Later that same day, his disciples saw him, and in the following days, hundreds and hundreds of other people saw him as well. It was not a figment of their imaginations. Jesus had stepped out of that tomb. He'd risen from the dead. He was alive. Folks, the Easter story is just that simple. But it's so profound. In fact, it's so profound that I don't understand it. But let me tell you something, friends. I believe it. I believe it with every fiber of my being. You see, I don't have to understand something to believe it. I don't understand how my wife Becky can love me as much as she does. That was not a point for laughter. I don't understand how Becky can love me as much as she does. But I believe she does. I believe she does because of the difference she makes in my life. Jesus rose from the dead. I don't understand it, but I believe it because of the difference he makes in my life. And friends, he can make the same difference in your life as well. Let me begin to explain that to you. Matthew's gospel tells us that after the resurrection, the two Marys were badly frightened, but also filled with joy. Badly frightened, but also filled with joy. You hear it? Fear and joy. You and I have those two emotions in our lives. But the problem is, most often, we have them in the wrong proportion. We have way too much fear and not near enough joy. This morning, I want us to look at the two Marys and take a lesson from them as to how we could correct that imbalance and have more joy and less fear in our lives. Let's speak about that fear first. Do you know what at the root of most of our fears? It's a lack of confidence. When we're not sure what we're up against, when we don't understand a situation completely, when we're on unfamiliar ground, what happens? Our confidence falters and we become afraid, don't we? Look at what happened this time last year when COVID came. We're on unfamiliar ground. And what happened? We got afraid, didn't we? And we started hoarding toilet paper and paper towels. We couldn't find Clorox anywhere. Masks were disappearing if you could find them at all. We started wearing rubber gloves. Started washing down anything that came from the grocery store, packages delivered, you had to wipe all that off. We didn't know what we were dealing with. And then we heard that thing that it could be carried by people and they didn't even know it. They weren't showing any symptoms. And all of a sudden we started to look at each other differently. We were scared. We were dealing with unknowns, see? Unknowns are always scary to us. When the two Marys saw that empty tomb, they reacted just like you and I would. They were afraid. They were afraid, and they needed Jesus' reassuring words to restore their confidence. They needed to believe that when the Lord is involved, unknowns, as dark and scary as they might seem, are not threatening harbingers of doom, no. Instead, they are inviting messengers of hope and love. When the Lord's involved, it makes all the difference, see? Is the Lord involved in your life? Is he present with you? Are you living in fear or joy? A story makes the point. It's a story about a strong man facing the unknown. His young wife had become gravely ill, and then suddenly she passed away. And when she passed away, she left that big man with a wild-eyed, blonde-haired little girl, not quite 5 years old. The service in the village church was simple and heavy with grief. After the service, they buried his wife in the little cemetery right there adjoining that country church. And after the burial, the man's neighbors came around, and one of them said to him, said, "Please bring your little girl and stay with us for a few days. You don't need to go back home just yet." Brokenhearted though he was, the man answered. He said, "Thank you, friends, for your kind offer. But we need to go back home where my wife was. My baby and I must face this." So they returned. The big man and the little girl. They returned to what now seemed like an empty and lifeless house. The man moved his daughter's bed into his bedroom so that they could face that first dark night together. As the minutes slipped by that night, the young girl was having a dreadful time trying to sleep, and so was her father. What could pierce a man's heart deeper than a child sobbing for a mother who would never be returning? Long into the night, the little one continued to weep. The big man reached down into her bed, stroked her back, trying to comfort her as best he could. After a while, the little girl managed to stop crying. Thinking his daughter was asleep, the father looked up to heaven, and he said brokenly, "I trust you, Father, but it's dark. It is dark as midnight." Hearing her dad's prayer, the little girl began to cry again. "I thought you were asleep, baby," he said. "Papa, I did try. I was sorry for you. I did try, but I couldn't go to sleep. Papa, did you ever know it could be so dark? I can't even see you, it's so dark." And then through her tears, the little girl whispered, "But you love me even if it's dark, don't you, Papa? You love me even if I can't see you, don't you, Papa?" For an answer, the big man reached across with his massive arms. He picked up his little girl, brought her over, laid her on top of his chest, and embraced her in those big old arms and held her tight until she fell asleep again. When she was finally quiet, he began to pray. He took his little daughter's cry to himself and he passed it up to God. He said, "Father, it's dark as midnight. I can't see at all. But you love me even when it's dark, don't you, Father? You love me even when I can't see you, don't you, Father?" And in that blackest of hours, the Lord touched that big man with new confidence and strength. Touched him, enabled him to carry on. And he could carry on because he knew that God went on loving him even in the dark. On that first Easter, the two Marys experienced the difference the presence of the risen Lord could make in the darkness and the despair of their lives. Any darkness in your life? Any despair in your life? Suddenly they knew that the Lord cared. Suddenly they knew that Jesus was alive. Suddenly they knew that they were not alone anymore. And at that, their fears turned to confidence, and their doubt turned to faith. Now, friends, some of you have been trying to make it through life alone. You've been putting on a show, trying to convince others that you're confident about tomorrow because you think you've got a handle on today. But inside, you're a mess. You're filled with doubts. And you're scared to death of the dark unknowns ahead. Well, if that's you, know that St. Paul once felt the very same way. So much so that some 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus, Paul wrote these words. He said, when we have trouble or calamity, is Paul speaking to you? Do you have trouble and calamity? When we have trouble and calamity, when we're hunted down or destroyed, is it because God doesn't love us anymore? And if we're hungry or penniless or in danger or threatened with death, has God deserted us? And then Paul says, no, emphatically no. Paul was writing those words from experience. He had experienced the difference the risen Lord had made in his life. And in essence, he was saying to you and me today and to folks for generations to come through all times, he was saying, don't be afraid to experience the risen Lord. He stepped out of his tomb 2,000 years ago. And why did he do that? So that he could be present with you and me today and always. Praise God. The scriptures tell us that the second emotion that the two Marys experienced on that resurrection morning was joy. Again, the text tells us they were badly frightened, but also filled with joy. Folks, I believe the joy they felt was more than simple happiness. See, happiness is a result of our circumstances. Things make us happy or sad, but joy comes from your hearts. Joy is there all the time, if you have it. They were badly frightened, but also filled with joy. I believe it was joy filled with hope. The joyful hope that because Jesus had conquered death, that they could conquer death as well. But more than that, more than the joy of conquering death was the joy they experienced, knowing that if Jesus had conquered the greatest enemy, and for most of us that greatest enemy is death, that if Jesus had conquered the greatest enemy, then every other enemy in their life could be overcome as well. Isn't that something? The joyful Easter good news was not just life after death, it was life before death as well. Are you living the life? Or are you marking time waiting to die? St. Paul proclaimed the Easter joy when he wrote, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. See that first word, nothing? That's a big word, isn't it? It encompasses lots and lots of things. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. Not our fears for today. Not our worries about tomorrow. Nothing in death, nothing in life. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, demonstrated how? By our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for you and he died for me on Calvary's cross. He loves us that much. Friends, some of you don't know that Easter joy. You don't know that Easter joy because you feel separated from God and you feel alone. Truth is, life's enemies are overwhelming you, and you're afraid. You've discovered firsthand that there are lots of things worse than dying. Well, if that's you this Easter, I suspect that you found a way to cope with that feeling of loneliness and despair. And I think the way that you've discovered to cope with it is you've closed your eyes and you've shut your ears and you've built a wall around your heart that makes it impossible for you to feel God's love, much less to know the joy and the hope that he and he alone can give you. In short, you're living in a tomb. A tomb of your own making. And it's a tomb that gets deeper and darker and more confining. Every time you think about those things you should have done, but you didn't do. A tomb that gets deeper and darker and more confining. Every time you think about those things that you did do and you shouldn't have done. A tomb that gets deeper and darker and more confining. Every time you think about your sins and your separation from others, sin does that, and your separation from God. And the truth is, your sins have robbed you. They've robbed you of any semblance of joy, and they've replaced it with fear. Fear. A fear that grows and grows as death gets nearer and nearer. Dear ones, if that's you, please hear the Easter good news. Jesus is not dead. He's alive. And when he stepped out of his own dark tomb, he opened the way for you to step out of your dark tomb as well. You don't have to stay in the darkness. You can step out into the light of the risen Christ. You see, God loves you. God loves you even when you're in a place so dark that you can't see him. And consequently, you no longer have to be haunted by what was. You can embrace the reality of what could be. How? By doing what the two Marys did. And what did they do? When they saw the resurrected Christ, they recognized him as the risen Lord, the Son of the living God, the Savior and Redeemer of the world. They embraced him in their hearts, and they fell at his feet, and they worshiped him. Let me tell you, friends, you are somebody very special. Very special indeed. How special? So special that Jesus died on a cross on Calvary for you. For you, not generically, but for you personally. And why did he die on that cross? He died on that cross to wash away your fear. And he rose from the dead so that you can have joy. Listen, friends, you are not who the world says you are. You are so much more than that. So much more than that. You're a child of God. And I pray that this Easter, you'll come out of your tomb and you'll begin to live as the child of God that you are. Oh, may it be so, Lord. May it be so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know I've been stepping on some toes this morning. I know I'm in the presence of folks who are fearful. Not all of them. Oh, many know the Easter joy, both here in person and online. They know the Easter joy. They're living in the reality of the resurrection. But, oh, there's so many more who are walking in fear. Who are living alone. Scared that others don't know the truth about who they are. They can't see you because they don't want you to see them. Because they think if you see them, Lord, that you won't love them. They missed the point. That you know our hearts, Lord. That we have no secrets hid from you. And you love us anyway. You love us so much that you took the initiative and you died on that cross for us. And you opened the way if we just believe. Our fears are gone, replaced by joy. Come, Lord Jesus. Bring us out of the darkness into the light. Come, Lord Jesus. Let us walk in your footsteps. Bask in your light and share that light with others. In your name we do pray it, Lord. Amen and amen.